If we're ready to start the lesson, bow with me. This is January 1st, 2019. And bow with me with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your Son, who is our head, who's just before the foundation of the world and did a lot of things for us at the cross. And we just can't thank you enough for choosing us to be members of your body, to study your word, understand your truth. And we ask you to be with everyone on the Bible study tonight to understand your word and be with me to speak the truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. In our past two lessons, we've been studying Romans 16, 25 through 27, which is also referred to by some as a postscript, which is an addition to a letter already concluded and signed by the writer. Some call it a doxology, which is an expression of praise to God, or some call it a benediction, which is an invocation as a blessing at the close of a divine service. So let us read again Romans 16, 25 through 27. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. I guess it's only because the eyes of our understanding having been enlightened, would we even consider this passage as something special. This word mystery in here intrigues us. We're learning to rightly divide these several mysteries. The entire Bible is about the mystery of God, which is Christ. And there are many aspects of the mystery of Christ, and there are also other associated mysteries that are manifested as well. Of course, we know the Bible is a book about redemption, and it's a book about the Redeemer. The entire Bible is about the mystery of Christ. You may have heard me say before that the Bible is the greatest mystery thriller ever written. The entire Bible is about all the unfolding aspects of the mystery of Christ. In part one of our study, we were looking at this these verses as to the many words used that are also found in the post-Acts epistles of Paul. And in part two, we learned of the uniqueness and the mystery of these verses, as it is presented in many of the manuscripts. Some believe it is the end of the original epistle. Some believe it could have been added at the end of chapter 14 at a later date by Paul, so as to be used as a circular letter to other churches after the mystery of the church was revealed to him. The phrase of interest was the phrase according to the mystery of the revelation in verse 25. This refers to the mystery of Christ revealed up to this point. The mystery of the church that was revealed to Paul at a later date, or the mystery of the church which was revealed to Paul at a later date. Some may see it as looking back to all the aspects of the mystery of Christ from Genesis to Romans, and some may see it as looking ahead to the full mystery of Christ, including the mystery of the church. Now, this third study has some interesting observations in connection to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. You will note with me that in the Companion Bible, which many of us have found to be a useful Bible study resource, there is a reference in verse 25 to the word revelation, and us to Ephesians 3:3. So let us flip over and let us look at Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1, chapter 3 in Ephesians. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 12. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, in parentheses, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, parentheses, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promising Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. Now I'm probably going to have to set my notes aside and just do this from my heart, because sometimes it's hard to follow notes going through all this. But I want to point out in that Ephesians 3, there's another reference in Bullinger's margin about, as I wrote afore in a few words. So if you go down to verse 3 in the notes, you'll see in a few words equals briefly, see Romans 16, 25 through 26. Now, I have heard people in our group say that this is referring back to Romans, that he wrote afore in a few words. He wrote this in Romans 16, 25 through 27. And when I read Welch's alphabetical analysis, number 3, he has about 50 pages on the knees. And he even goes as far as to move these parentheses from verse 3, the first parenthesis, but the second, the closing parenthesis will go all the way down to verse 7, at the end of verse 7. And that takes this interpretation a whole different direction. In other words, he's calling that the mystery of Christ and all of that in those verses. And you can look at it that way. But what I'm looking at as I read this, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read. So if that was Romans that he's talking about here, how would the Ephesians have read the epistle to the Romans by this time? Now, some people believe that Ephesians was written in the first imprisonment, and some might think that maybe Ephesians was written in a later imprisonment. And that would make a difference. This could be looked at. But when I look at it, as I wrote afore in a few word, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Ronnie eloquently covered this in Wisconsin Conference, that when he wrote in a few words, he's not talking about Romans, he's talking about Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. And Ephesians 1 goes back to the mystery of the church, and including the mystery of his will, which is including the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So that's the big daddy of the dispensations. That's the culmination of everything. But here in Ephesians 3, Paul talks about, in verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. This is a whole new dispensation of grace. This is a grace given to Paul after the Acts period ended. This is another level of grace. This is where he was able to learn the revelation of the mystery. And down in verse 8, he says, unto me who am least and the last of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So this is a whole new grace, level of grace given to Paul, in my opinion, concerning the mystery and all that's involved in the mystery. When you go back to verse 1 in 3, he says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Well, for what cause? Well, look at what he just wrote before that. Let's take a look at chapter 2, starting at verse 13. he's talking about the Gentiles here in verse 11 as a body, as a corporate group. Whereby you remember being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcision, that were called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at any time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. But when did that happen? It happened at the cross. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. That happened at the cross. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, at the cross, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That happened at the cross. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby at the cross. And came and preached peace unto you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the house and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause, so this was the cause that Paul was referring back to, for at least one of them. So I want you to notice another thing that I noticed in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye. We're not talking here about all Jews and all Gentiles being reconciled together. We're only talking about those in Christ. Those in Christ are the only ones who are being brought together, and we're the ones made into one new man. But that happened back at the cross. So in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes were far off were made not of Christ. He had made both one and broken down the middle wall partition between us. That is between those in Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity of the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for the making himself of twain one new man, so making peace in Christ. Who is he talking about here? Who is he talking to here? Go back to verse 1, chapter 1. Or even in verse 3, blessed be the God, O Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, this is a, what I would call a mystery of Christ that was revealed to Paul and written in chapter 2 that is pertains only to the church, which is his body. This was never known before. Why did all through the Acts period nobody knew this? When Christ talked to his apostles in Acts, verse 3, I think, he talked to them 40 days about the things pertaining to the kingdom. But he never told his disciples this. Peter never knew this. Otherwise, he would have welcomed Cornelius into his arms as a fellow brother in Christ. Paul knew this because Paul would have not have persecuted the churches of God. Stephen would have never been stoned. So, it begs the question, why was this not known during the Acts period? Well, when you look back at Jesus, the risen Lord, when he talked to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, if we go back to Acts chapter 9, and we'll look at that verse where he talks to Ananias about going to Saul, and and the Lord said unto him, Saul, in 15, Acts 9:15, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. So here the Lord mentioned Gentiles first. Did you ever wonder why he mentioned Gentiles first? Did you ever wonder why Paul went to the Jews first in the Acts period? Because when these two were made one new man and the middle wall partition was broken down between us, doesn't that say that those in Christ, you know, they lost their priority. They became equal with the Gentiles at the cross. But during the Acts period, many of these Jews had priority, but they weren't made equal with the Gentiles at the cross. And how would the Gentiles ever come to be blessed by Israel if Israel had never accepted Christ as their Messiah? So God had a plan and purpose for the Gentiles, being, you know, given salvation sent to the Gentiles, that they will hear it, and then the revelation of the church, which is his body, that nobody knew about. So even though Paul was revealed many things during the Acts period, there were still some things that were being held back that Paul still hadn't been revealed. And this is a mystery of Christ that was revealed to Paul pertaining to the church. So that's according to this new grace that was given, this new dispensation of grace given to Paul in 3. So he was made known in verse 3 how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So you could say that could refer to the mystery of Christ, or that could refer back up to the mystery in verse 3. that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So I'm trying to get my head around this, but it's those in Christ, not everybody, is what I'm seeing here. And another mystery of Christ would be in chapter 2, and that's in verses 1 through 11. Now he's talking about individuals, and he's saying that, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So I know there was a time in my life I was there. I was dead in sin. I was not saved. I was going to church. I was a Catholic, but I was dead in sins. But in verse 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. So, even when before I was saved, I was quickened together with Christ. And I understand that I had to be quickened before I could have faith, be given faith to believe. So, I know some have tried to change these verses to read, and you who being dead to sin and being dead to sins hath quickened us together with Christ. But this happened before we were even saved. But I'm going to go back to the cross again. In verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Together with Christ. So my question is, when Christ opened his eyes in the tomb, were we quickened together with him at that time? We were quickened us together with Christ. Grace, ye are saved. And verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when Christ was raised up, we were raised up with him. And when Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father, were we made to sit together with him? This is spiritually speaking. That in the ages to come, in verse 7, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We were created in Christ Jesus, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were created in Christ Jesus long time ago unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, just another mystery of Christ that pertains to the church. And I don't know how people that don't understand the mystery, how they can read these post-Acts epistles and make any application out of them. it's just a misapplication of scriptures, in my opinion. And hopefully someday they will begin to realize and see what they really mean. But we were raised by the same power that Christ was raised from the dead. That same power put us into the body of Christ. And if you go back to even chapter 1, and Barnaby talked about this in Wisconsin as well, as being the crescendo of the mysteries and the mystery of Christ. The mystery of the church is the apex of the mystery of Christ. Ronnie called it Mount Everest, the peak of Mount Everest. And so we're talking about there are several mysteries in the scriptures, some that are inner acts, some are post-acts. And the post-acts, mysteries of Christ, only pertain to the church, which is his body, which is the apex of the mystery of all the mysteries of Christ, to complete the Word of God, to fulfill the Word of God. Ephesians 1, verse 9, go back to verse 8, where in he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. He's making known to us the mystery of his will, his whole plan and purpose, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in a dispensation of the fullness of times that's yet to come, he might gather together all in one, all things in Christ. There's that word, in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, could that be something like the marriage lamb, the supper of the marriage lamb in the Revelation, where the two bodies in Christ come together? So that's another mystery altogether. So, going back to Ephesians 3, in verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, the verse 10 speaks about the manifold wisdom of God and this eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord is equivalent to the dispensation of the fullness of times, the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in Ephesians we have the dispensation of the fullness of times in chapter 1. In chapter 3 we have in verse 2 the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, this is a dispensation given to Paul after the post-Acts period, another level of dispensation of the grace of God for all these revelations. And then we have the dispensation of the mystery in verse 3:9. And to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery. Now, you could use words like administration or fellowship or stewardship. some even call it the message of the mystery, but I think the Revised Version uses dispensation in both places. So we have the three dispensations here in these chapters. We have the mysteries of Christ, which are a part, include the mystery of the church, which is his body as the apex. And then we have the mystery of his will, which is the completion of all things after the mystery itself. So how did I get here from Romans postscript, Romans 16:25-27? Well, it's just little footnotes. And I want to say that I think, in my understanding, is the Companion Bible was written by someone who come from a mid-Acts position. And we have to be careful how we look at some of these postscripts. We have to search these things out ourselves and search our own understanding of what these scriptures mean and whether these footnotes were good or bad. Because I used to have a King James Bible that was probably published by Catholic publishing company. So you had to be careful of the footnotes because they tried to lead you back to a Catholic understanding of some of the words and some of the verses. But this gives us more insight in the manifold wisdom of God, the dispensation of the fullness of times, and a fuller dispensation of the grace of God to Paul, a fuller dispensation of the mystery of the church. And I hope that brief study will add some insight to your own thinking as how this goes. I appreciate everybody being on tonight, and it's going to be a short study, but I'm open for some comments. And I would like to close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of your truth and words of your wisdom, not my wisdom. We ask you to open the ears of the hearers and their spirits to understand, to see what you have to say. We pray for all the saints in the body that they will have a successful and prosperous year in your word and your work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.